And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl Bott and Trish Clark, it's Thursday. It's
Thursday morning.
Yeah, 28th of October, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. Jared's at the helm. Do we have a special day today, Jared?
We always have a special day. It's First Responders Day.
Whoa, we can go for that. I'll mention it again. 3 days ago, we missed on the 25th. We missed National Mule Day. I don't know how that happened.
Geez, how could you have missed that?
I'm not sure. We got everything else. Of course, yesterday,
what an oversight.
Yesterday was Navy Day and National American Beer Day, which goes hand in hand, Navy and drinking. So, anyway, yeah.
We're looking for a high today of 77 and a low of 53 on Friday. Mostly sunny. Chance of showers. A high of 77, a low of 52. And on Saturday, a high of 66, a low of 49. Chance of showers, slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy in the evening. On Sunday, a high of 64, a low of 51. Partly sunny, a chance of showers. And on Monday, a high of 58, a low of 46. So it's going to be kind of nice and not too cool, not too much rain, but that's a good thing for it to kind of dry up now and soak in and get ready for the next one to come down the line. The weather is always is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. I have a really deep voice this morning.
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know. You know, the hay fever, all kinds of things, and I just get this whiskey baritone every once in a while. But I drink scotch. It isn't whiskey. I don't know why I say that.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Hey, with us in the studios today is Chris Kellstrom. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, and Chris.
Chris is running for District 5.
Yep.
Supervisor. Les Baugh has hung up his spurs. Well, he hasn't hung them up yet, but he's getting ready.
He's
still there.
Finally going away.
It's been a love match between you and Les for how long?
Oh, good God, no.
20 years?
Mm. No, 14, well, about 14 years he's been.
14 years, okay, got it. Hey, Chris, tell us a bit about you.
So I was born and raised right here in Shasta County, lived here pretty much all my life, spent the decade of the 90s down in Sacramento County. Ex-wife went to school down there, and one thing led to another, and, you know, we kind of got stuck down there for about 10, 12 years. Came back home finally about 2001, 2000, and, you know, built our home and, you know, came back to the area we loved. And, unfortunately, kind of the last 10, 12 years, it seems like it's looking, a lot of it starts reminding me of the Sacramento County that we couldn't wait to get out of. So, we had found a little town called Galt down the southern end of the county, which was kind of like a Anderson Cottonwood, you know, farming community. When we were down there, so we had a little piece of heaven, you know, in a horrible county. But now I come up here and, you know, I just see the homeless and the crime and, yeah, you know, a lot of the stuff, and it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of the area that we couldn't wait to get out of. So yeah, I think we need to turn this around.
Okay. So you grew up here in Redding.
Yep.
And what schools did you go to?
So I went to Rother Elementary and then Parsons and then Enterprise. And 1 year out at Shasta College, I played basketball at Shasta College in my first year and was working in a business that Trish is aware of. And I had an opportunity to go into management there. And I remember taking an intro to business class. And I had the guys give him a lecture, and I still remember verbatim. He says, profit, what is profit? The amount of money you have left over at the initial item or initial cost of an item and the overhead is deducted from the selling price. And I'm like, no kidding. You know, and I'm watching everybody around me frantically writing this down, and I'm like, why am I here? What I'm wasting my time here, you know. So I went in to where I was working and then became the manager at ripe old age of 19 years old, and then was in management for the next decade and a half. When we moved to Sacramento County, I was in management there, worked in a corporate office, the whole bit. So that's kind of my background, and, here I am now. So.
Okay.
And I think bringing a management business sense to the county is probably a good thing. I think instead of running it status quo and, get along kind of thing, I think maybe we needed to look at things from a management perspective, see where we can save some money and cut some costs and, whatever.
That makes good sense. The budget has a few problems built into it, for sure.
It does.
Like what?
Well, I mean, baseline budgeting, let's face it, do any of us run our lives that way? At the end of the year, I'm pretty sure, Carl, you probably don't at the end of the year, at the end of the fiscal year, go, hey, honey, we have this much in the bank account, we need to go spend it, or we won't have it next year. I mean, now, I'm not saying that necessarily can be changed. That's a pretty big thing to take care of, but, I definitely guarantee that I will not rubber stamp a $600 million budget without taking a look at it. I guarantee the voters that. Never will happen. I will call in department heads. I will ask them questions. Why is your budget going from $3.6 million to $5.4 million? Can you explain that? What's the need?
Do you have that one?
This is actually a probation juvenile rehabilitation facility. So, and there may be a legitimate reason. I mean, they may be coming in here, hey, we have to do this, and I may say, okay, you've explained it to me. I understand now. I get it. But
you need to know what it's being spent for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and the problem that I've seen with the budget over the last several years, well, all the time that the counties, is they don't go back and figure out what the original budget is. They take that base number from last year, and then they just add to it.
Right.
And they never justify what, in fact, whether they're actually spending and what they're spending on, the amount of money they've already got.
Yeah, and the first time that was explained to me years and years and years ago was a friend of mine who worked for the city of Reading, and he was explaining how that works and saying that at the time, the department managers, end of the fiscal year, it's like, hey, they're going to go out there and just blow money. I mean, whatever they have left over, they need to blow the money or they're not going to get it the next year. So, and he said, then there was some good department heads that were like, well, we came 10% under budget. I mean, we were able to meet all our needs and get everything done, and we were able to save 10%. Well, guess what? Now you get 90% of what you had last year. And then the same manager maybe the next year came in and said, well, hey, we made it do with the 90%, plus we saved another 5%. And so their budgets are getting cut, and they're doing the right thing. Meantime, the guy blowing money and, getting rid of everything and just spending it is, not really, in my opinion, doing the right thing. It's the way things are done, but I don't think it should be the way things are done. And then budget cuts come along, and all of a sudden it's 10% across the board. Well, the guy that's been doing a great job, his budget's already down to a shoestring, and he looks like, he looks the fool because now all of a sudden he can't cut it. And then the guy that's been blowing money, he's a big hero because, heck, he's been running his budget 20% over every year, so you take 10% away from him, he's still okay. So, there's a lot of things like that, again, I'm not sure that you can change them day one or overnight, but we need to take a look at things and kind of...
Well, what if you look at it and you see what everybody's spending and 90% of the budget is accounted for?
Okay, then you know what? Then
that's fine.
Yeah.
You're not going to say,
of course not.
Well, how about if they're doing things that I love example. Anytime the county or the state or the federal government offers any money, everybody just immediately in line to take it.
Absolutely.
I mean, just whatever.
Doesn't matter
whether they're funding it, whether it's something. I always said when I was in office that if I had that amount of money to do in Shasta County what needs to be done for the citizens, we'd have a perfect county if I could have spent that money for the things we needed in Shasta County.
Without all the strings attached.
But when you were taking, as an example, a couple $100,000 and putting it into a budget to educate 25 women how to eat vegetables, that didn't make a lot of sense. But that was the amount of people that were being served with that. But if you didn't do that program, you didn't get that money.
Yeah, we just had...
I would have thought it would have been better to just leave that money there and not put the staff into teaching that than to take that money.
Absolutely.
But I could never see anybody to agree with me on
that. Yeah, we just had, you know, our supervisor, current supervisor brought, I don't remember how many million dollars, whatever it was, to Cottonwood for some street improvements. Well, that's great. We could use some street improvements, but of course there were strings attached. So it wasn't just street improvements. It wasn't just repaving some roads, filling in some potholes. No, it was bike lanes and street lights and, you know, handicap access, or I don't remember if it was, you know, but it was the bike lanes and the street lights were the main thing. And it's like the people in Cottonwood, we don't need bike lanes. You know,
you don't want the lights.
No, and exactly. We don't want the lights, and we certainly don't want Front Street messed up with, you know, I mean, I think Front Street is so cool where it has the 3-foot curbs, you know, where it still has the rings in there where you used to tie your horses up, you know.
Right.
I mean, and we don't want that torn down and put street lights up there and bike lanes. I mean, I'm sorry, bikes are great, but the only ones using bikes in Cottonwood for the most part, not necessarily, but there's quite a few unsavories running around on bicycles.
You know, there was a project that took those high sidewalks out while I was on the board. That was one of the toughest battles I fought all the time I was there.
Really?
I mean, everybody, they were bound and determined they were taking those out. And I was like, no, you're not. I'm going to stand in front of them if you try to tear them down.
Good for you. And yeah. I remember
they're still there.
Yep.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah. Yep, yep. And
yes, they are.
And I remember another one you had was the totem pole up in Shingletown, which is still there, which was absolutely ridiculous. Again, another county ordinance, red tape, regulation. That totem pole is still there. It's still very cool. It's not an eyesore whatsoever. It sits off the road. You have to know where it's at, really, to really
enjoy it, exactly.
And for somebody, a bureaucrat, to say, oh, no, you can't put that up. Hey, oh, my goodness. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had lots of fun. There's all kinds of issues there.
By the way, getting ready for today's show, how did you sleep last night?
I slept really well. Back up to 55 on my sleep number.
Okay. Well, this segment is being brought to you by our Sleep Number beds and your Sleep Number setting. And your bed's, what, 20 years old?
Yes.
And still hanging in there.
Absolutely.
Would you say it was a good investment?
It was a tremendously good investment. And the only problem I've ever had with it was the control, which I was so impressed because it had been 16 years since I purchased the bed in Sacramento. And they still had me in the books, gave me a discount for the control, and got it, like, immediately.
There you go. Well, Sleep Number is one of the nation's top mattresses. In fact, Consumer Reports rates it number 1 and 2 in its category as far as mattresses go. My family now is all buying Sleep Number mattresses because they ask us, is it, you know, people say, do you really sleep on a Sleep Number mattress? I mean, you talk about it. Well, yeah, we've been sleeping on one for like 8 years, and it is truly, truly a good mattress. You can adjust it to any firmness that you want. Not only that, but if you get like the 360 smart bed, it adjusts to you as you move during the night. It can give you hints if you decide to sign up for it. For the software, is it can give you hints about sleeping better, and it can keep track of your sleep. People that are in Sleep Number that use these get 100 hours a year. More sleep, better sleep. And since proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep, that starts with Sleep Number's adjustability. Save up to $700 on Sleep Number 360 smart beds for a limited time, plus special financing. Only at the Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center. Go over and see Steve, any of the ones over there. Lay on the beds. You won't be sorry. Now, that special financing is subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details. We'll be right back with Chris Kellstrom.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Billy Pilgrim from my buddy Doug Tooley from BNT 241-3474. You need to know that number, 241-3474, for the best service. Doug and his great crew at BNT makes TV so easy. They're the experts. They do TV wall mounts. They did one for us. TV antennas, surround sound. They can even set up your RV or set up your boat. Doug doesn't do dishes, but he'll dust behind your TV. So for all your TV entertainment needs, no matter what it is, call the local guys. Call my buddy Doug Tooley, the nicest man in the world, at 241-3474. 241-3474. They'll be there on time. They'll get the job done on time, and you're good to go.
With over 60 years of combined experience, let us, your locally owned TV guys, help you. We know what we are doing. You can trust us. Call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
Doug makes TV easy.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn.
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up! KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Living in a small town. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. You can get into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or listen to us streaming. Today, starting around 9 o'clock, PG&E, again, is up on South Fork. And, however, there has been a concentrated movement, a concerted movement by all of us up there to get the generator fixed and up and working. So, hopefully, the generator is working. I provided them with a turnkey, the ones that owned all the towers and everything up there, a new company, or national company, offered them a turnkey solution. That was too hard. So, now it's going back to, you know.
Well, hopefully that generator will stay legal for a while, because
For another 8 years, and at that point, it's anybody's guess. But this portion of the show brought to you by SST Oil. SST Oil is out there. It's getting colder. They are the main sellers here, providers of Toyo heater and Toyo water heater. You can have a warm house, hot water, provided by the kerosene they bring up there and the fuel they bring up there to keep your home heated and your water hot. SST Oil has been in the city since 1967. They are on the front lines during all the fires. They are an employee-owned company. It's just one fine group of people, SST Oil, located at 2370 Wyndham Lane. If you want to get a hold of them, call them at 241-1167. Okay, we're here with Chris Kellstrom, who is running for 5th District Supervisor.
And just to point out, this is an unusual situation because you've got an open seat. So there's a couple of you out there now.
Oh, yeah.
Before this, it's going to get crowded.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you're aware of that.
Absolutely.
Because anytime you have an open seat, I think when I decided to retire, I remember it was something like 8 or 9 people who jumped in.
Yeah.
And it'll come down to two of us. You recognize you're going to go to a run-in.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to come down to two of us. And, I mean, yeah. I think we know who the two will be. But, you know, it is what it is. And unfortunately, in this day and age, and I hate to say it, it's not right. It's not the way things should be. But in this day and age, whoever spends the most money, you know, has the best chance. It comes down to money, which, you know, is a sad thing to say.
That's kind of a shame because that's happened overnight. The last campaign that I ran for that office, I spent $8,000.
Yeah. Multiply that by 20 now.
I know. You reach a point.
Well, can you buy an office?
Well, that's kind of what's happening, unfortunately.
I mean,
Patrick Jones spent over $100,000 for a board of supervisors seat.
Yeah.
Well over $100,000.
And he was running for that because he ran for state office, and, you know, that was $500,000 there. $1 million for a state senator. Yeah, so, I mean, but, you know, it comes down to money. Fortunately for myself, my specialty is fundraising. So, you know, I got into it several years ago. I've done fundraisers for a bunch of different groups, helped out with a bunch of different groups in different counties. And I just did one last weekend for myself, for a first time ever for myself, which was kind of odd, but, you know, up there and auctioneering my own fundraiser, but, it was a great time. And I mean, I had a great turnout, wonderful people. I mean, and, you know, if you have something you believe in, people are more than willing to give. So,
well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
There's been a lot of consternation, anger. I guess you could go on and on about the board of supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
About when it comes to COVID and the rules. Where do you stand on that?
So, again, my latest commercial is exactly my feelings.
Which is a good commercial.
Yeah, I support both sides. If you want to be vaccinated, by all means, God bless you, get vaccinated. If you think that's going to help, by all means. You know, if you want to get your children vaccinated, if that's what you believe, by all means. But I also support the side that says, no, I don't believe this vaccine. I believe that it's, you know, it's still experimental. I certainly don't want to experiment on my children. So I support both sides, by all means. But I absolutely do not support the government telling you what you have to do. You know, the Constitution is set up to protect the citizens' rights from the government. The government is not supposed to step on our rights. And so for the government to come out and say, you have to be vaccinated to go to school, you have to be vaccinated to do this, to get on an airplane, to come into a courthouse, to do whatever, or you have to wear a mask, or you have to, it's not the government's job to tell you how to live your life. And so I am absolutely against the overreach of the government and the government mandates.
Well, our board of supervisors never enforced the governor's mandates from before. I mean, they put them out about, there was never a ticket issued. From the Reading chief of police or the sheriff.
Did they not close the board of supervisors chambers?
Well, okay, I'm just talking about business. Okay, we'll move over to that. They didn't do anything to businesses.
Well, they weren't in power to do anything to the businesses. The state agencies were the ones that were threatening businesses. Now, the state agencies never did enforce a fine here, although they just shut down the counties did shut down a couple of In-N-Out Burgers down in...
That happened throughout the rest of the state.
That was San Francisco.
But there were no
businesses shut down.
There was some liquor licenses lifted.
But not by... Not by locals. What I'm saying is...
What local agencies, what county agencies would shut down the business?
Well, I think the Health and Human Services could the Health Department could, and they did. So I'm just saying is that no business that I know of was issued a citation, even one that hit the front page of the newspaper, the karate place. nothing was, no, they never were shut down. Now, let's move, though, to shutting down the chambers. Good idea, bad idea, because of COVID?
I think it's a bad idea. I mean, I think you are there to answer to the people. I mean, that, you know, really, a board of supervisors, if he does his job correctly, I'm not going to say easy, but we live in a constitutional republic, representative republic, which means you elect people to represent you. If they don't represent you, you remove them from office, either through recall or through the next election, you vote them out. So as a representative, you get elected by the people, and you do what the people want. I mean, it's fairly simple, and I think the majority of people did not want that chamber closed. The majority of, you know, if you felt safer wearing a mask, wear a mask. They put up the plexiglass, they could hide behind the plexiglass. There was a lot of things they could have done to prevent the spread of COVID, but they just decided to not really, they didn't want to listen to the people, in my opinion, and it was easier to just shut the chambers down and say, no, you know, here, we'll do a Zoom meeting, and then we'll turn off our monitor and walk out of the room when the people are talking to you. I mean, there was a lot of arrogance there, and I think that you listen to the people. If there was people that were afraid of COVID, you can call in. You can go online. You can Zoom into the meetings yourself. So I really believe that you need to listen to the people and answer to the people.
We're here with Chris Kellstrom. He's running for District 5 supervisor. It's an open. Yeah, it is. It's an open seat for the first time. So it'll be interesting. Gosh, that's when's the primaries?
June.
For that? June.
June.
So it's going to be an interesting 6 months,
yeah.
I can tell you right now. Plus all the other things are going on. There may be, in fact, there's going to be an election before that.
Yep.
Because of
February 8th.
Has that been announced?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know that's what the county clerk was saying, but has the Board of Supervisors said
Didn't
that?
Didn't they do it yesterday?
I don't know. The last I heard it was February 8th was going to be the recall election.
Well, that's what Kathy Garland Allen recommended.
I'm not sure it was on the agenda yesterday for the board to act.
They're
on
the
it.
Only ones that can set that election.
She made the recommendation, and they have to affirm it.
Okay.
And I don't know that it was on the agenda yesterday.
Okay, but that'll be February. So that's going to be the next 3 months. It's going to be hot, too.
Yep.
Chris Kellstrom, running for 5th District Supervisor. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Community-oriented, local board of directors. They hit the ground running 15 years ago by helping people move local dreams forward. 3 branches, one in Tehama County and Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, one right downtown at 1845 California Street, and, of course, the main branch at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Cobblestone Shopping Center. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Having football down to a science starts with having sleep down to a science. Because the better you sleep, the better you show up on game day. That's why NFL players rely on the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. It senses their movement and automatically adjusts to keep them effortlessly comfortable. And it tracks vital sleep metrics like average heart rate and average breath rate, so they know exactly how well they slept. It tackles the science. All they have to do is sleep. Save up to $1,000 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds and adjustable bases. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
Play our Fall into Winter $75,000 Swipe to Win promotion. Win free slot play and cash every Thursday in October at 7 and 8 p.m. Final drawing on October 28th at 7 and 8 p.m. 25 lucky winners will have the chance to fall into winter with cold hard cash and free slot play. All you need is a free River Club card to play. More drawings, more winners, more fun. What would you do with all that cash? Must be 21 to participate. See winriver.com for more information.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.
Shasta360.com.
It's Super Saturday, October 30th at Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. The Sikh Center Anderson, in partnership with Anderson RX and Anderson Medical Associates, team up to host a COVID-19 vaccination clinic from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Sacred Heart Parish at 3141 St. Stephen's Drive off of Stingy Lane in Anderson. Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines will be available. Come and get vaccinated on Super Saturday and enjoy free food while organizers hand out Dutch Bros, Walmart, and Starbucks gift cards. It's the Super Saturday Vaccination Clinic, October 30th from 8 to 3 at Sacred Heart Parish in Anderson.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Chris Clark and Carl Bott. It's 57 degrees out there. Looks like it's going to be clear today. Looks like it's a nice day out there. Today, the 28th of October, this portion of the show brought to you by one of Trisha's favorite places, Four Winds Jewelry.
Yeah.
2225 Hilltop Drive. Great selection of jewelry, all types of jewelry, really fair prices. Batteries into your watch in and out in 5 minutes. The only watch repairman in Northern California up here, probably right there at Four Winds Jewelry. Located again at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We're here with Chris Kellstrom. Yeah, Kith Kwelfum. Chris Kellstrom, who's running for 5th District Supervisor. It's going to be an open seat. And I think this is important that people hear this. Is COVID real?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
Okay. And what I think all of us were talking during the break is, if you want to get vaccinated, which is what you've said, get vaccinated.
Absolutely.
Want to wear a mask?
Wear a mask.
However, it shouldn't be mandated.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we're on the same page, and I
just want to make sure that people.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
This.
Yeah, COVID is definitely real. It's deadly. It's a deadly virus. Influenza is a deadly virus, also. I don't see, and we have that every year, and I just didn't see the amount of government intrusion every year on influenza. The kids in school aren't wearing masks during flu season every single year. You know, they're not getting shut out of traveling or playing sports every year because of influenza. So COVID is real. It's no question about it. It's a deadly disease, and take all the precautions you want. And, like my ad says, talk to your trusted healthcare professional and form your own opinion and do
what's good
stuff
for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Recognizing that we've always, when we have sickness, we quarantine the sick people.
Absolutely.
We didn't do that this time. We tried to quarantine the whole population.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's where we got into trouble.
Let's move on from that. Let's talk about the permitting and the planning process for Shasta County.
Mm-hmm, boy.
thoughts on that?
Okay, well, I have not had personal experience. I've heard the horror stories, and you talk to anybody that's gone through it, and you usually will hear a horror story. One of the things I want to do at the county, and the first thing I want to do is move those meetings to Wednesday nights. This Tuesday meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning, I work for a living. I can't go to the meetings. You know, I would love to go to them every week, but I can't because I'm out there working. I brought this to Les Baugh's attention 4 years ago when I got on him for some other promises he was making at the time, because he's a pretty good supervisor, 6 months every 4 years before an election. And he was promising jail beds all over the place and hundreds of jail beds, but none of them were going to be ready for the election, you know. So I called him out on this, and he says, well, if you'd go to our meetings. And I said, that's another thing, Les. I said, your meetings are at 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday morning. I said, I work for a living. I'm the guy that pays all the bills. I can't be there because you have your meetings when I can't go. And so one of the first things I would do is move those meetings, or at least motion to move those meetings to a Wednesday night so that the people can go Tuesday night. We have city council meetings in Anderson and Reading. So, you know, Wednesday night I think would be the perfect night to move those meetings to so that the people can come there and voice their opinion.
And how often?
I would say every week.
I can tell you that every candidate that comes through here, because I ask it, why don't we have a night meeting occasionally? And they all say, well, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I've been here 11 years, and I've gone through how many candidates? Not one time have they done that.
Well, I will tell you that in the past, we absolutely did do that. And no, we had meetings all over the county.
But that's...
So there it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. The other thing is, they used to meet every Tuesday. And now it's down to...
Well, 52 meetings, 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We used to meet every Tuesday except 2 weeks during July. For years, that was what the board schedule was.
Okay, so
it
that was...
It canceled the fifth Friday, or fifth Tuesday in every month, and now they're only meeting twice a month.
Yeah.
There's like 27 meetings in
when they're meeting.
When they're meeting.
So, and I, you know, and that's interesting, too, why we've gone to less meetings. I mean, they're getting paid... a lot more than the average salary of
$57,000 a year.
Yeah, and the average I think here in Shasta County is like $27,000, or you know, around that $30,000. So they're getting paid more than the people, than the average salary here. I don't understand why they're not meeting.
Yeah, I don't either. Tuesday. I don't either. And again, I would change it from Tuesdays to Wednesday nights. And like Trish said, I think that would be important too. I mean, you know, let's not forget Bernie. Let's not forget Fall River Mills. Let's not forget some of the outlying areas that, you know, are a little difficult for them to come to a Board of Supervisors meeting.
If you have an issue that's relevant to Bernie or Fall River Mills or Shingletown or, in the northern part, then that's where you should hold your meeting.
Yeah.
For those people that are
okay.
impacted.
Let's move to something else that you mentioned right at the beginning, homelessness and crime.
Mm-hmm.
Because freedom of movement and, the safety of a community is always number one. Has been, again, for every candidate. What's your plans on dealing with the homelessness?
So I think, the homelessness, I think there's two separate groups there that a lot of people don't differentiate. There's homeless folks that, you know, truly want help, want to get back on their feet. And I think we already have quite a few, not only public but private programs to help those people. I think the majority of what we see that cause the problems are transient population. And transients, for the most part.
So you're making a real differentiation here.
I believe
between
so.
People that are homeless and trying to get help.
Absolutely.
As opposed to a transient population who is here and is not going to seek help.
Right.
That's
what they want to live. Now, and it's a very complicated, you know, there's not an easy solution to the whole thing. There's a lot of drug addiction, mental health issues. The fact that we don't have any jail beds also, I believe, leads to it. Now,
well, we're going to get to that in a second.
Okay. Well, and it's all part of the big picture.
Right.
I mean, there is no, you know, you can go break into cars and do whatever you want, and you're not going to go to jail, and everybody knows that. You can walk into a store and steal whatever you want as long as it's under $950, and there's going to be no consequences. So we know those things. They know those things. I talked to a pastor that runs a church that you know, works with a lot of homeless transients, drug addicted people, and basically they try to get them help before they, you know, start preaching to them. But he told me, he goes, you know, you'd be surprised. He says, I'm all for jail sentences. He goes, I'm against long prison terms for, you know, somebody peddling drugs or whatever. He says, but I'm for jail sentences. He goes, you put somebody in jail for 30 days, it gives them a chance to clean their system out, you know, get the drugs out of the system, and then you can offer them help when they have a clear head. He says, so I'm all for, you know, jail sentences. And this is a pastor that, you know, works with quite a bit, that knows, you know, quite a bit of the homeless and the transient population. So, I totally agreed with him, you know, but we don't have the jail beds right now. They're full, and our county's turned down money now twice from the state to do something with a jail. So we need to do that. So
when was the second time?
Honestly, I don't know. I know I'm more aware of the first one.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Leonard Green.
Eric McGreen. Was appointed as the deputy CEO. His whole job is public safety and getting this jail. He seems to think that he can get this jail built without a tax. What do you think?
Well, I was against the tax. I definitely was against the Measure A tax. Ronald Reagan said we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem. And I believe that. I think that we have enough tax money. I know at the time I had a couple friends in Anderson on the city council, and, you know, one of them really tried to convince me to vote for this tax. And I explained to him, I said, look, in Anderson, you guys did exactly with that tax increase what you said you're going to do with that tax increase. You have integrity and honesty on the Anderson City Council, and you did what you said you were going to do. I don't believe we have that on the Reading City Council or the Board of Supervisors. So you're asking the taxpayers to pay more taxes and turn them over to people that they don't really have trust, that they don't hold in trust and have value in.
And that was the key issue in that election.
Well, Measure A was just, it wasn't just for the jail. It was too many things added on. I think it would be
too many loopholes,
too many
places for,
and accountability is everything.
Yeah, and they aren't, the people did not see that they would be held accountable.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. This is this portion of the show brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. If you buy 5 car wash coupons, you get 1 free, or buy 10 and get 3 free at just a great place. Locally owned small business right here in town at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros, where we go and get our trucks and cars washed. They do a great job. They've been there. They've been in a business there in that area for like 100 years. So that's pretty local. That's Quick and Clean Car Wash. We'll be right back with Chris Kellstrom running for District 5 Supervisor.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nursery's open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Fabulous fall specials going on now at High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, also in Roseville and Petaluma. High Noble Safe Company has fireproof and waterproof safes. Protect your guns, cash, and valuables, heirlooms, and collectibles, and important documents. With delivery, moving, and repair service available in Reading, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050, or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Fern Creek, and Airport Road. Come check out our sale October 18th through the 31st. With this fall weather, it's a perfect time to save big when ordering your sod for your yard or planting a winter garden. Garden Power soil is only $45.99 a yard. King Kong winterizer fertilizer for only $24.99 a bag. Need to update your tools? All hand tools, including shovels, rakes, picks, and more, all drastically reduced. Been wanting a patio or pathway? Baselite pavers and retaining wall is all on sale. As always, Lauk's Landscape Supply carries all your sand, soils, barks, and gravels for your projects, whether you pick up or we deliver. Now's the chance to save big October 18th through the 31st at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Fern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out on the web at louckslandscape.com or give us a call at 378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to an North State with no more homeless pets.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in studios, KCR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Maxwell Insurance and Financial is bringing us this segment, All Your Insurance and Financial Needs Under One Roof. This isn't Judy's first rodeo. She's been doing this since 1993, two separate divisions here, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. You know, with all the Biden administration disasters when it comes to money, finances, inflation, changes,
be easier to name a success.
Here, I'll go.
Maybe you need a second opinion on your retirement plans or 401ks. Give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation. Give her a call at 221-0441. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Trish Clark
nice
and I
recovery.
Are here. Are with Chris Kellstrom, who's running for 5th District Supervisor. It's going to be an interesting race. We got good people running. And,
we do.
And that, you know what? That's good.
Yep.
You know, now, we were talking about the permitting, and let's circle back to that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so one of the things I want to do, and again, I don't have first-hand information, so I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, this permitting process and zoning department is absolutely horrible to work with. I've never experienced it myself. I have heard a lot of stories that are not flattering. One of the things I would like to do, though, is that every county counter, every single county counter that deals with the public in one way or another, I want a reporting mechanism, whether it's an 800 number, a QR code, a website, whatever. Easiest way to do it would be just to print it on the bottom of the receipt like they do at Taco Bell and Walmart and Target and every store and, you know, shop you go to. And, you know, just simple, how was your experience? You know, log into here and tell us about your experience. And then a copy of that goes to every board of supervisors in the department.
Totally anonymous.
Yeah.
You gotta be.
It can be, or yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, there's.
And I'll tell you why, because when I've asked people to come on the show to talk, I mean, they had horror stories.
Right.
No, because they gotta work with them.
Right.
Not if they're developers or businessmen, because they gotta go to them next time.
Trish has heard them say the same thing.
Yeah. So I want a reporting thing, and now, you know, somebody told me, well, how would you like it if somebody looked over your shoulder? I'm like, well, they do. I mean, my industry, I mean, we do surveys, we do all sorts of stuff to ask our customers how happy we are. And it's not just necessarily a go get you or, you know, gotcha kind of thing where, you know, we're going to call out this department head and this guy. But I think we need to change the culture a bit to where when that person walks into your office, they're a customer first. First of all, they're a customer. They're not an adversary. They're not, you know, somebody. They're a customer. And secondly, since they're a taxpayer and you're tax funded, they're, you know, a quasi boss.
They're your boss.
Absolutely. You know, and again, it's not all negative things. You know, I'm not trying to get any county employees in trouble or anything else. But for instance, I had to get a birth certificate, so for a driver's license. So it was COVID, and I had to go online and do all the stuff and pay this and blah blah blah. And then I had to go down there and pick it up. You know, so I go down to the county and I get this woman that is pleasant and treats me as a customer and was knowledgeable, and I mean, just she was fantastic. And then the next girl over in the window recognized my last name, which is a little unusual. And her dad and my dad used to be good buddies, you know, and they both passed on. But so her and I are reminiscing. I mean, it was an absolutely pleasant experience. I walked out of there. If I'd had a little, you know, hey, log into this website and tell us what your experience was like, it was fantastic. Had to get one for my boy a couple weeks later. And we go in there, and we get a different lady, which, you know, right off the get-go, I was a little bit disappointed. I was like, oh, those other ones were so pleasant. But this one, the same thing. I mean, knowledgeable, expedient, I mean, pleasant, treated us like customers. Fantastic. So that department head, you know, in records or whatever, I mean, I would gladly call her in and say, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it up. You're hiring the right people. You're training them right. That, you know, we're getting nothing but great compliments from them. So it's, again, it's not only a negative thing, but if we're getting complaints every single time from a certain department over and over again, then that department head needs to be called in and say, hey, you need to change something. Something needs to be done. And, you know, the zoning department, planning department, maybe it's not even their fault. Maybe it's state regulations, federal regulations, whatever. But in at that point, when that customer walks in, tell that customer, you're not going to be able to do this project because of XYZ. You know, maybe the county can change XYZ. Maybe we can work, you know, to change, you know, some of the red tape loopholes, whatever. But we need to identify the problems and we need to solve those problems.
They need to adopt an attitude, in my mind, as to how can we make this work.
Absolutely.
As opposed to you can't get there from here.
Okay, Chris, I told you your last 4 minutes would be. Now, there was a question that came in about this being a Second Amendment county.
I am a lifetime member of the NRA. At one point in my young life, I was a single-issue voter, which was the Second Amendment. That's the only thing. In fact, I did not vote for Dan Lundgren or Gray Davis because both of them had Fs with the NRA. I have since evolved a little bit from that. I'm now a multi. I have a lot more to worry about than just the Second Amendment, although the Second Amendment is very near and dear to my heart and very important to me.
Okay. I said I'd give you about the last 4 minutes. So what do you want to accomplish?
You know, I want to change the culture at the county as far as the county workers. And again, I just found out the other day the county workers, most of them are Teamsters, and I was a shop steward for the Teamsters. So, you know, I'm all for the county workers. But I would like to some of the departments, I would like everybody to be as pleasant as the people in the records were that when I went there to get my birth certificate. I would like that type, you know, in every department to be, these are our customers, these are taxpayers, how can I help them? How can I, you know, help them? I would like to get into the budget. I just talked to, you know, Mike out in the hallway there, and we were talking about the unfunded liabilities, and he was telling me about an account that he put, not Dunsmuir, but McLeod into, and you know, hey, I'm all ears, and give me a call, let's go to lunch, let's do something, because I want to talk about this. I have a friend of mine that was, you know, Shasta County Mental Health for a while. He's telling me that he can get 80 cents back per dollar spent on mental health care. He can get it back through funding, federal funding and through grants and whatever. He can get you back 80 cents for every dollar. I want to hear all about that. You know, if we can increase our mental health services while not increasing the dollars spent on them and actually getting money back and possibly even decreasing them while we're, you know, maintaining the mental health services we have and increasing it, I'm all ears. I want to hear that. So I want to bring some new ideas to the county. I don't want to just do the old status quo, you know, get along, go along to get along. I would like to, you know, make some changes. And again, I'm, you know, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. You should listen as twice as much as you talk. So I'm here to listen and give me some ideas and let's run with them.
There's so much rancor right now in the Board of Supervisors. I mean, there are FUs flying around, and nasty things are being said. The people that are talking to the board, some of it has just been horrible.
Yeah.
What would you do if you were there?
Well, and I think the...
Just accept that.
Well, I think the chairman needs to take control of that as much as possible. And the people need to understand, too, when you start yelling, people stop listening. So if you want to get your point across, and I'm all for, you know, getting your point across, but you can get your point across without yelling and screaming and cussing and the whole bit. So there is some very hot issues out there. There's some very people that, you know, raw emotions that often comes out. But I think, you know, if I was sitting on the board and somebody was yelling and hollering and screaming, and especially if it was somebody that I agreed with, you know, a lot of them, I agree with your sentiment, but it's like, tone it down a bit. Let us hear what you have to say, you know, and we're going to hear more if you can keep control and leave out the yelling and the cussing. But, you know.
But the leadership needs to come from the person holding the gavel at the top of the, up in the, in the
I thing. Believe so, yeah.
And they set the tone. You can get all the information to them. You don't have to go into that kind of a thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We're here with Chris Kellstrom, who's running for District 5 supervisor. He does not have horns on his head.
Nope.
He is a lifelong resident, except for a 10-year sabbatical down in Sacramento, which is still kind of considered Northern California.
Yeah.
By them, not by us. And you believe it's time for change.
I do, and I exactly, and I believe it's time to listen to the people. I mean, that's, you know, that's my strong suit. I want to hear from the constituency. I want to hear what their needs are, and I want to be there to listen for them, and I want to be there to act upon them any way possibly that I can.
Okay, Chris, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It won't be the last time, I promise you.
All right.
As we move closer and closer to June, I'm sure it's going to be. I hope it's not going to be a rancorous election.
I don't plan for it to be.
I don't think it will be.
Yep.
I think both of you all are gentlemen.
I think that the citizens are anxious to hear the differences that can be made and someone that's willing to be proactive to do it. That's what they're going to be looking
for. But you don't
have
to try to destroy the other people to do it.
Absolutely not.
Okay. We'll see about that. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a break from the news. We're going to come back with Jim Barrett, who is a subject matter expert when it comes to mounted police. And we're going to talk about what happened at the border a couple months ago or a month ago. We'll be right back.
All right, guys. Well, thank you.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Slowed in the third quarter, falling to a 2% annual growth rate July through September. Meanwhile, the unemployment picture did brighten a bit last week.
In another sign that the job market and economy continue to recover from last year's coronavirus recession, the Labor Department reports jobless claims drop by 10,000 to 281,000. It's the lowest since mid-March in 2020. In all, 2.2 million people were collecting unemployment checks during the week of October 16th, down from 7.7 million a year earlier.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. New York City municipal workers who haven't taken at least one shot of the COVID vaccine by Monday will face unpaid suspension. There is concern it will take a lot of firefighters and EMS personnel off the streets. Wall Street, the Dow is up 204 points. NASDAQ ahead, 146. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Why are cash out refinances such a big deal right now? Uncle Ryan tries to teach me something.
I really feel like right now might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I've been doing this for 18 years now, and I've just never seen a market where the rates are so low and values across the country have skyrocketed as much as they have. That combination, I remember one couple in particular, they were looking to do some home improvements at the house, but they were worried about their payments going up. Well, with rates being so low and them building up so much equity in the home over the last few years, we were able to get them the cash out for those home improvements, and their payments actually went down a little bit. Every single situation is different, but it does happen more often than you think, so it definitely does not hurt to call.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Private license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Shops, restaurants, and schools closed today in Moscow in a partial lockdown as Russia battles record COVID deaths and infections.
The majority of shops are closed. Unvaccinated elderly are ordered to stay at home, all of their exemptions. Crucially, Moscow is not the hardest hit as far as hospital beds are going. In many Russian regions, this is not so. A couple of Russian regions said they're running very much to 100% capacity now. And in many regions, the authorities are saying that they will look and see whether this week of aid stay away from work, will do anything to curb the infections. And there are lots of doubts that it will in such short space.
That's the BBC's Oleg Voldarev. British lawmakers set to grill Facebook and other tech giants today over how they handle online safety as European efforts to regulate social media companies gain momentum. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Group of GOP senators taking aim at the president's energy policies.
Wyoming Senator John Barrasso says gas prices are up $1 a gallon since President Biden took office.
That's a seven-year high.
Barrasso says that's also true for natural gas used by about half the country.
Those people are going to be paying a lot more to heat their homes this winter. So it's really a double gut punch.
West Virginia Senator Shelley Moore Capito says prices are even higher in her state.
The White House says they're working on it. Yeah. They better be working on it.
Republicans held a press conference on Wednesday as President Biden headed for the U.N. Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland. Bob Agner reporting.
Utility crews working to restore power to hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses in New England after a nor'easter battered the coast with hurricane-force wind gusts. Authorities say more than 300,000 utility customers are in the dark in Massachusetts. Power restoration could take days in some of the hardest-hit areas. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
I like that shirt, man.
Nice shirt.
You know, I'm wearing my last Hawaiian shirt of the season, I think.
It's
been hanging in my closet. I mean, I ironed it, so I'm going to wear it, you know. Because I think it's going to get chilly enough that I can go back into my, you know, my winter wardrobe of long-sleeve denim shirts.
There you go.
So, good morning, Trish.
Good morning. It's 57 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 77 and a low of 53, partly cloudy this evening. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 71 and a low Friday night of 53. On Saturday, a high of 68 and a low of 48. Slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy. And on Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 64. Sunday night, chance of showers, a low of 51. Monday, a high of 58 and a low of 50. Kind of hanging in there, not a slight chance of showers through the next few days, but a little drying out period. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
As you know, that the PG&E is working on the area up there, so we go on and off the air. and so does some of the repeaters from the Sheriff's Office, Board of Education, all these things. So
I don't think a lot of people understand that hill where all of the repeaters for the whole county are kind of located.
Well, they're in different spots, but, you know, you've got your major areas.
Yeah.
Other radio stations are up there and all that. Well, there is the facility has just been sold to a national company. Mountain Communications sold it to somebody. And since then, we've been having some problems because the generator, when the power went off, the generator went on, but it wasn't rigged right. So when the power came back on, the generator just kept running, so it ran out of fuel. So then everybody was off the air. So, and when you're talking about Shasta Gas Propane, I was talking to Chuck Kenny, the owner, and we came up with a one-step solution. So you'd have constant propane up there and a Cummins, and that's the kind of diesel generator there is up there, or a propane generator they have running up there. And they've got everything. One-stop shopping, a one-step solution to their problems. And the guy we talked with thought it was the greatest idea in the world, kicked it up the line. Well, no, that's not working. So now it's... we've still got like four or five entities that, you know, come together to try and get this thing working like that. So hopefully when the power goes off today up there from PG&E, the generator's going to kick on and you won't even notice it. But at 9 o'clock, we'll find out. Okay. Hey, I'm here. We're here with a gentleman by the name of Jim Barrett. And he is, he's been on the show before, but talking about the grand jury. Because you're pretty involved in the grand jury.
Yes, I am.
Why did you get involved with the grand jury?
I wanted to reach out and do something for my community, and that was an opportunity that presented itself. I worked in Ventura County in the Sheriff's Department for 30 years, so I had some understanding of county government, worked as a manager, and it felt like it kind of fit something that I could do as a volunteer, and I've been very fortunate to have a great group of people to work with.
Now, are you on this grand jury?
Yes, I'm currently on this grand jury.
Now, you can be on more than one, right? No, just one? I mean, it's just...
Well, you can be there a couple of...
But you can be there a couple of times,
You
right?
can hold over one additional time.
Okay.
So you do one term, and then you have the ability to hold over one additional time, and then you're pretty much done after that.
Okay.
For some period of time, you could probably come back in a couple of years and do
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, do it again. Now... The grand jury is always looking for people.
Yes.
And people don't understand that the grand jury reaches out there on a number of different questions, but it's based on a lot of it by people writing something to the grand jury.
Correct. And you essentially have to apply, although unfortunately I think the application time it has passed.
Yeah,
for this next one.
Yeah, for the next one.
But
you work off of input from the community.
Yes, absolutely.
And were you on the, and there was a pretty large one this time when it concerned one of the sitting supervisors. That caused a great deal of consternation, probably for him. But led to other things in there, too. But I had no idea that was something that you all could look at.
Right. It's just he's just a part of county government, and
right.
we look extensively at county government.
But not the criminal side. Is that correct?
Not unless it's requested by the district attorney's office. So there was no criminal. We're a civil grand jury,
okay.
which means we look into issues with county, special districts, those sorts of things, cities, those sorts of things.
I always read the reports when they come out.
Good for you.
Well, you, first of all, the titles you put on them are funnier now. Excuse me for me saying that. But they are funny.
Right.
And, you know, so you look at it and you have to read it. Of course, I will read the synopsis, and especially if it's a long one. About what, you know, what brought it on, the deliberations, and what you all recommended.
Right.
Does it get frustrating when you all come out with something and obviously the city or the county has done something that's questionable in the grand jury's mind, and when you give it to them, they send it back and say, well, you just didn't have all the facts.
That does happen. And
it doesn't happen all the time.
No,
but
it doesn't happen
it does
all
happen.
The time. This is my first experience with the grand jury, and I will say that some of the issues that we look into, just the fact that we're looking into them, because they become aware of this as we talk to witnesses and what have you, has the result of them looking at this and saying, oh gosh, the grand jury's looking at us. Maybe we should review this particular area of what we're doing. So just the fact that there's some scrutiny by the grand jury tends to change some attitudes, get people thinking the right way and what have you. But
and one of the things that I noticed over the years with the grand jury is a lot of times the recommendations that they made were valid. They were accurate. The part of it that didn't always go is that those solutions required money that simply wasn't available. And I think if you look at the responses from the governing bodies, a lot of times that's exactly what they say. Hey, if we had the money to do that, that's a great idea.
Exactly.
But the reality is we don't.
That's one of the sticking points.
And that's one of the problems.
But when
the public looks at it and says, well, they don't ever do what the grand jury tells them. A lot of times that's the issue. We both agree that's a great idea.
Right.
Great solution.
Right.
Now we just have to figure out where the funds come to do that.
Right. Well, there are limited resources on all these entities, so, you know, they have to decide where
they're going
to spend their money.
Yeah. Okay, we're here with Jim Barrett, and that's not what we brought him on for, was the grand jury, but that's where the first time you're on the show. And he said, well, we've met before. And where? Well, turns out that his son his son and his very significant other lives across the street from us. So we've met that way. But when he came in, you know, it was totally different. And I just,
you see somebody out of there.
Yeah. Okay, this is not why I called Jim here. We're going to take a break. But the reason I called Jim here is, as he pointed out, he was a sheriff in Ventura County.
Correct.
But you were more than just a regular sheriff there. You were in charge of the mounted unit, plus other things, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to talk about, it all started when that fiasco at the border with that photograph of the mounted border patrolman. And they were said they were whipping the Haitians. And, you know, all these things came out. Well, Jim wrote the definitive manual for the mounted officer. And I wanted to talk to you then, but it's taken us this long. But I want to talk about that other books that you've written. But the the fact is, you know, the mounted officer in large cities, and how many of those are still left, and some of the things that they face when they're on these horses, and plus another book you wrote called Ma Duncan.
Okay.
Which I read, and it is an absolutely chilling, chilling story. And I'm pretty jaded, but this was chilling, and it's based on fact. You've got everything in there about the whole case from start to finish. And, you know, if you're looking for something that you go, oh, my gosh, there is evil in the world, this is the book. Anyway, we'll be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you're not getting treatment for work injuries because of denials, you're having a tough time with that in workers' comp, give Patrick Gorman a call. If you get work, you get injured at work, it can be a life-changing experience, my friends. The insurance companies have have lawyers, employers have lawyers. You need a lawyer that's going to fight for you, and that's Patrick Gorman. Give him a call at 262-2168. And he is probably one of the experts when it comes to workers' compensation and taking care of you in this state, probably one of four. And Patrick Gorman Patrick Gorman gets, you know, Christmas cards from the other three. So that's Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. You can be reached at 262-2168 for a free consultation. We'll be right back.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Thirty years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke can tax, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Free Fire Radio on 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And this portion of the show brought to you by Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance down in the Sunset Shopping Center at 3673 Eureka Way. As you are aging, are you aging gracefully? Are you still out there? You know the song? I'm as good once as I ever was. When you go out there and try that, and then your body is strained, go down and see Kevin or Rachel. They'll get you back into action. Whether it's an orthopedic injury, strains, or sprains, they are the experts. You can give them a call at 533-5030, 533-5030 for Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. Trish Clark and I are here with Jim Barrett, who is probably the expert when it comes to mounted units, mounted police units. You've written the manual on it.
The book
called The Mounted Officer. It's second or third edition now. How many large cities have, I mean, there used to be in every large city a mounted police unit.
Right. Well, there are fewer than there used to be. And yeah, this is a difficult question to answer because depending on the administration of the organization, they could be supportive or they could say, no, we just can't afford this. So the number of units that the department owns the horses and provides all the equipment and supports a barn and supports all the various things that go with it,
mm-hmm,
are fewer than they were even 20 years ago.
Sure.
But there are still very useful units. New Orleans is a great example. New Orleans Police Department has a very robust mounted unit. And as their officers have said, and I've trained with them, have said, well, most of the year we don't care too much about these officers on horses, but during Mardi Gras we love them because that's about the only way they can move around those crowds.
Yeah.
So New York and New San York. Francisco, Baltimore,
L.A.
Yeah, L.A. On again, off again, I'm not sure what their status is right now.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. Sheriff certainly has a robust program. LAPD, I'm not exactly sure if they're in operation right,
mm-hmm,
now.
Well, now, you've got numerous organizations that are affiliated with law enforcement.
Right.
Sheriff's posses.
Lots of sheriff's
search
posses.
Search and rescue, all types of different units there.
Absolutely. Sheriff's posses, and as you say, search and rescue, and then just civilians who are working as part of a mounted operation who are able to, you know, function at a, say, a parade route. And while they're in, may not even be in uniform, but they're helping out with the law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you think of a mounted unit, you think, of course, in New York, you see those a lot. You see movies where Canal Reeves is riding one of their horses through the streets. San Francisco, though, has got the longest running mounted unit.
Right. They've actually, back in the day before cars, they had a mounted unit, and they haven't gone away since. They've had more officers and fewer officers, but they have had the longest running continuous.
How many officers do you think are in it now?
I would guesstimate there's probably 12.
Okay, so it's a smaller unit than it
used to
be.
Yeah.
Now, what advantage does a mounted unit give a police agency?
Well, there's numerous advantages. Depends on how you want to deploy them. Where I worked, we would deploy into crowd control, obviously, which is a huge advantage. But we also used our unit for high-profile patrols. So if we had gang issues in a particular place, we would send the mounted deputies out, and it becomes an instant understanding that the police are here. Now, you can drive a patrol car through a neighborhood, and people will say, well, there goes a patrol car. But not too many people will flag down a patrol car in order to talk to a deputy. But if you're on a horse, I guarantee you, you will have much more interaction with the community. Because if for no other reason, there's people will show up and say, gosh, you know, I don't really like cops, but I kind of like your horse. And that can be the start of a conversation.
Yeah, I read that in your book, that people will come up to you that ordinarily wouldn't because you're on a horse.
Yeah.
And then
all of a sudden,
you've got an instant rapport on at least one level because of the animal.
Right.
And then when you talk to both sides, you know, there's starting to be a little understanding there.
Sure. It's an instant icebreaker. Some of the best work we did, however, was in crowd control. We went down to, in the year 2000, went down to Santa Monica Pier and worked the Democratic National Convention. And we were literally standing on the Santa Monica Pier with all the activity around it.
Is the craziness going on?
It was fairly crazy. It managed to keep two sides who wanted to get at each other apart. And as it turned out, it worked out pretty well for us. So, and for the city of Santa Monica at that time. It was under contract. That isn't even in Ventura County, but we did a contract with them.
Okay. So the idea of, what I could picture is in our parks and trails, since we're building this huge, you know, trail complex around here, having a mounted horse patrol along the trail.
Right.
You know, because they can be seen from a distance.
Good use. Good use.
I would think that's a good use.
Yes.
Now, the fact that it's good for publicity, crowd control, but it does cost.
Certainly.
To have a mounted unit, too.
Certainly. And the most effective way, if you're worried about costs, which everybody's worried about costs, is the way that we ran our operation. It was called a collateral assignment. The deputies provided the horses, the deputies provided the housing for the horses, and then everybody came together to train, and you need to train at least once a month in the mounted world right now, came together to train and then were deployed to various locations. The department provided all the equipment, saddles, bridles, etc., safety equipment, and the means of transportation, so getting the horses in a horse trailer, getting them to a location. So they overcome a big part of the expense of it, which is maintaining a barn and buying horses and what have you.
Veterinary stuff and all that.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a partnership with the officers, and it's a collateral duty.
Right.
Too. So if something big is happening, a parade or something like this, you guys get together.
Right.
You're out there.
Right.
I don't know if you know the Shasta County Sheriff's Office has a mounted search unit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because the other day I said I'd volunteer
Good
over
for
to the
you.
Sheriff's Office to help with the backlog of the CCW.
And did you receive your application?
The next day.
I know.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. I want to thank
thanks
you for that.
Thanks very much, Sheriff. So I'm filling that out, and that's why I'm finding all these
thanks
different...
Thanks for throwing me into that whole thing, too.
Well, yeah, I think you should. You know, in fact, I will tell this everybody, if you're an instructor out there or you're somebody that says, it's taken me forever to get my CCW because of the lack of manpower and all the, you know, the new systems they have, do like I am. Volunteer 2 or 3 hours a week until this thing is caught up, and then you can step back from that. So I think there's nothing wrong with that. Now, it is a pretty extensive
application.
I was surprised. I thought it would just say, yeah, I'm going to come down there and help with your CCW stuff. No! That's when I found out about, you know, the different auxiliary units,
right,
that dive, you know, dive and rescue, all these.
Mm-hmm.
That so I'm thinking about, oh, maybe I'll do that one. Or maybe I'll do that. No. We're talking here with Jim Barrett. He's wrote the definitive book on mounted horse officers. I want to, when we get back from this break, talk about what happened down on the border from your observations there.
Okay.
And then I want to talk about the training, what it takes to train a horse to walk into a riot.
Right.
I mean, it's hard enough for on your feet, you know, with other law enforcement on your shoulder walking into it. But now you've got a 1,200-pound animal that is, that you're having head into harm's way.
Right.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at REU. REU, as you know, built a fire break around Reading. Essentially, they were taking care of the power lines and everything. But to do that, they had to make sure there was no extraneous brush or anything. So they just built a fire break, which is another advantage of having something like REU, plus the fact that they saved REU customers like $30 million. Over any other power company. And I'm not sure what the other power company would be besides PG&E. And your power's always on. That's REU. If you're looking for more information, just visit cityofreading.org. And then REU. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
All aboard! Haas Farms is now open, and it's family night fall fun for the whole family with a kids' roller coaster, go-karts and bumper cars, pony rides, little bug playland and petting zoo, zip lines and pumpkin cannons. Jump on the Haas Express Railroad train and cruise around the orchard. Family night is every Thursday with free general admission thanks to Sinorama. Haas Farms is now open for all the fall fun and food. Haas Kettle Corn, hot dogs, Moe's Pizza, plus beer and wine for the 21 and over. All haunted attractions are open every Friday and Saturday. The Field of Screams, the Sinister Workshop, and the Zombie Slayer Pinkball Excursions. Come blast some zombies on the Zombie Slayer rides. Special thanks to sponsors Above Board Construction and Roofing, Reading Heating and Air, Sinorama, Reading Harley-Davidson, and Only One Benji. All tickets are being sold online this year, so for complete pricing and a schedule of events, get online to HawesFarms.com. That's HawesFarms.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Good as I once was. I got a few years on me now, but there was a time back in my prime when I could really lay it down. If you need some love tonight, then I
welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. There's nothing, you know.
I really like that song.
You know, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm, you know, it's
as
like
good
everything.
As I ever was.
You know, I realized that when I was 58 in Al Anbar province in Iraq and running down a street with a bunch of these kids that at the end of it, they were like, ah, you know, and I'm like, oh, I need to sit down. Yeah. So, for one day, I can keep up. Anyway, 8:35 in the morning, this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living, which I got to be thinking. It's not an assisted living facility. No, it's a great place to live. It's California's premier retirement community. Super, like I said, super accommodations, gourmet chef. You don't have to worry about toilet paper or paper towels or tuna fish. They are pet friendly. If you want a personalized tour or just to learn more, give Brian a call at 238-5981. Worry less, smile more at River Commons Senior Living. Trish Clark and I are here with Jim Barrett, who was with the Ventura Police Department, or Sheriff's Department, mm-hmm. for 30 years. I think she's at 30.
30.
30 yep. years. And headed up their mounted detachment there, but he wrote the definitive book on the mounted officer. You've traveled all over,
right,
giving classes and helping different organizations with this. Now, when we left, I asked, it's one thing to walk into a riot with the shield up, and you've got other officers right there. But the horses go into those two.
Right.
How do you do that? If you've ever been around horses, and from what I understand, there's almost more horses now than there was in the 1900 because people just ride in all of these. But right. how do you get a horse to do that?
Teamwork. It's teamwork between the horse and rider. You have to, through your various techniques that you learn, you have to convince this horse that he's going to do what you insist that he do. And he's not doing it out of fear of punishment. He's not doing it because you have sharp spurs. He's doing it because he's part of the team. And then the team becomes the unit also. So our unit, we had 25 riders. We could put teams of 10 horses out at an event as an example. And they all worked as one team. So it's all about teamwork. It's brought to you by Dorrance and Ray Hunt and some of the people who said, if you want to get along with a horse, we don't break them like we used to. We don't get on them and buck them out and then slap them around and time to post and what have you. There are more effective ways to do that. And those people were the first generation of what I call the modern horsemen who brought new methods to training horses.
Yeah, and like you said, in the old days, you bucked them out and then you just rode them. Now, you don't have to do that, and it makes for a better partnership.
Absolutely. And then the horse is going to respond to you. And I'll tell you a quick story. I remember one time sitting at a venue in which there were thousands of people there, and we had gang issues, and I was sitting on my horse thinking, oh, my gosh, what if something happens in there? I wonder, you know, do I have to – I'm going to have to go in there. And sure enough, something happened, and my body told that horse it's time to get with the program. And we and several other went into this psoriasis situation, took care of the problem, and came out on the other side. And I was so proud of this horse, and he was not a, he had been relatively new in the business. And so, you know, it was because he realized it was really important to me that we accomplished that.
You can recognize this when you watch people, whatever kind of an event it is with horsemanship and people. And my, I have a grandson who's mm-hmm. into cattle cutting.
There
In fact,
you go.
He's a world champion, 35K. And he's only 19 years old.
Nice.
I'm really, rather proud of him. But Gavin is one with that horse.
Right.
And when people watch him ride, that's always the comment I get from people who know that he, that horse and he are on the same page.
Right.
They are acting as a one unit, can kind of read each other. And it's so apparent when you see that combination and then you see the next rider and they're not working together at
right.
all. And it's so, it's incredible.
How do you train a horse to go into, screaming, angry people?
We practice going into screaming, angry people. And I don't mean the citizens. I mean, we get together as officers. Put together crowds of
screaming
deputies,
angry people,
yeah. And family members, and anybody we can get to, you know, to be a crowd, and we do that. And we say, okay, you be as obnoxious, and we start easy. And the important thing about training a horse, especially for mounted work, is that the horse always gets to win. Now, if I'm in charge of a crowd and I know there's some new horses coming at me, I can scare the horse out of a formation. I know I can, just by my actions. But I don't do that. I allow that horse to come in and win and to push with his shoulder, push me with his shoulder. And as the horses are coming in, the crowd backs up quietly, and that's perhaps the first go. Second go, we ramp it up a little bit, but not enough to scare a horse out. We always want them to be able to win. And if you're consistent with that, and it's a mindset, and it's sometimes hard for humans to overcome their ego in this process, but as long as you're consistent with that horse has got to win, you will eventually develop a horse that will walk. I tell you what, they'll walk into anything.
Well, how about the rider, though? Don't you feel terribly vulnerable? You're up there. Easy target, different than any other circumstance that you're going to put yourself in. Are you wearing protective gear, armor? That you've got to be more exposed in that situation than any other.
Right, and that is one of the drawbacks for people who say, oh, gosh, I'm sitting on this horse. I'm way above everything else. Somebody's going to chuck a rock.
Sure, an easy
probably
target.
Going to hit me. But the horses in a rider situation are completely outfitted. They have face shields. They have shin guards. They have those things.
I put a picture on Facebook yesterday of that, of
yeah.
four officers standing there, and the horses had plexiglass face shields.
Right.
They had armor on their legs so that if something like that did happen, they're protected. That
they
way.
Are protected,
yeah.
and of course, the deputies, the officers themselves are also wearing appropriate equipment.
What about the on the training part of it in the book? And by the way, if you've got a horse, if you just got a horse, you ought to take a look at this book. Because Jim goes into, no horse is bomb-proof, as we know, but it goes into how to train a horse to win in situations when things are uncomfortable for him, like walking on a mattress.
Right.
Is very uncomfortable for a horse because their footing isn't solid. And so they've got to be able to do that. They've got to be able to go through balloons.
Right.
A balloon, think about it. A big ball thrown at them.
Right.
You know, just things that they're going to run into. So this whole training that you do starts, again, from the very basic of what, just walking through a course.
Right.
Right.
And what, how that succeeds is by you allowing the horse not to do it. And as people think about that, they go, well, wait a minute. I'm on this horse, and there's that mattress in front of him, and by golly, his job is to walk over that mattress. Well, his job isn't to walk over that mattress the first time, or the second time, or the third time. But eventually, through a day of training, the horse will be cruising over that mattress if you allow him to take the time to go, oh, it isn't going to eat me, and let him absorb. And then, of course, horses also learn by watching. So if you have a horse that's really having a problem with a particular obstacle, you stand him aside and you let him watch the other horses do this obstacle. And they go, oh, well, you know, that one went through. And
Harry can do that, so can I.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember the term mother horse or something like that.
Mother
horse, where they'll go through right before your horse.
Right.
And horses do have a tendency, once a horse goes through, the herd instinct will follow it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how long do horses remember things?
Oh, gosh, I have great memories. Forever, I think.
You know, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because once a horse gets it, and people don't realize it's a right and left side. It's not like, oh, if I teach them everything from the left side, that they've got it. No. You've got to teach it from the right side, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, they are. That's how they view the world. And they see all the way to the, you know, behind them, all the way to the top of their back. So they have incredible...
without moving their head.
But
they can't see directly in front of them or directly behind them.
No.
So that can be, but that you have to train both sides of them. But
right.
I was wondering about the memory, and you've been around, you've trained so many horses that... Once they have that memory,
then it's easy. It's easy. And once I had the luxury, because I had a large unit, of taking a new horse in order to deploy it out in the public for the county fair or a parade or whatever. And so I always had the luxury of taking a new horse and putting them with solid, good horses that we knew had been there, done that, had been maybe in the unit for 5+ years, and we're just going to kind of mother that newbie and make sure that everything worked out okay. So, and I'll say one other thing about it. As it relates to mounted work, but as it relates to horsemanship generally, selection.
Yeah,
you've got to get the right, you know. So if you're a novice person and you decide you want to go out and get a horse and you see a 3-year-old, let's say an Arab horse,
mm-hmm.
and you think that you're going to be successful with this horse, you probably have another thing coming. You probably are not getting good information. So with us, our selection process was very rigorous because we wanted to be successful.
We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk about what happened at the border, in your opinion.
Sure.
There. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, my barbershop of choice. Haven't had my haircut any other place, so I can say it's the best place in Reading to get your haircut. A veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments. If you give them a call at 244-9478, set up your appointment, go in, get your haircut, in and out. Man's last stronghold. Does that have anything to do with it? No. It's the haircuts that Tim and Logan give. Outstanding. We'll be right back with Jim Barrett.
Fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nurseries open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Don't miss Wind River Resort and Casino's Fire and Ice Halloween Bash, featuring two of Reading's hottest DJs. Dress up, bust out your dance moves, and enter the costume contest. Over $2,500 in cash and prizes. Battling DJs on the ones and twos, playing all the hottest hits. Fire and Ice Halloween Bash, only at Wind River Resort and Casino, Saturday, October 30th at 9 p.m. Must be 21. Tickets on sale at windriver.com and the River Club.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Fern Creek, and Airport Road. Come check out our sale October 18th through the 31st. With this fall weather, it's a perfect time to save big when ordering your sod for your yard or planting a winter garden. Garden Power soil is only $45.99 a yard. King Kong winterizer fertilizer for only $24.99 a bag. Need to update your tools? All hand tools, including shovels, rakes, picks, and more, all drastically reduced. Been wanting a patio or pathway? Baselite pavers and retaining wall is all on sale. As always, Lauk's Landscape Supply carries all your sand, soils, barks, and gravels for your projects. Whether you pick up or we deliver, now's the chance to save big October 18th through the 31st at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Kern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out on the web at louckslandscape.com or give us a call at 378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. You know, you can see us on YouTube. You can watch us on YouTube right now, in fact. Little wave to everybody out there. You can listen to us at KCNR1460.com all over the world as we stream our shows. You can go to our archives at KCNR1460.com, pick up our show, and listen to it if you somehow missed it. I know it's hard to believe.
And if they ever get the tower fixed, you can hear us at 96.5 FM consistently.
Consistently, you know. Anyway, hey, we're here, Trish Clark and I are here with Jim Barrett, who wrote the definitive book on the mounted officer about mounted police units, and has literally gone all over the United States because he is the subject matter expert and given classes and help people and all this. The reason I reached out to him the first time is because of what happened at the border. When you had the Border Patrol and their horses trying to hold the border against these thousands of, in this case, Haitian immigrants crossing the border illegally. Right. And there was a photo taken. The officer had the reins up. The
Haitian was right there, and immediately people said that he was whipping them. As this has been found since then, that was totally false, and it was all, anyway. How do you, you know, when you saw that, what did you think, Jim?
Well, I immediately said he's not whipping anybody, and I'll tell you from experience that I doubt that there is any horse-mounted officer that carries a whip in this
country. Yeah, there were no whips there. They came out and said that. There were no whips.
You get out a whip and hit a horse with a whip, you will have 20 dozen phone calls to your boss. It's just not tolerated in our society. The fact that he may have been swinging a rein in some sense, that's a possibility. The reins that we used were more what I would call user-friendly. They're a continuous loop rein. And so when we had a situation that we needed to have our hands free, we could drop that rein on the horse's neck, and it's not going to fall in the dirt, or somebody is not going to be able to grab the end of it and then be in control of your horse.
Yeah.
Now, they said in this one that they use sometimes, they would twirl those reins to keep people away from the horse because they don't want people putting their hands on the horse just like they didn't want them putting them on them. Plus, it was safety because, you know, 1,200-pound horse bounces somebody that can, you know, they can be injured.
Exactly. And that's understandable if that's a method that they found useful. For my standpoint, you always want to keep people back from your horses in situations like that because while your horses are functioning and well-trained and doing everything that you think they should be, there's always that moment in time when a horse can step on somebody, spin and maybe kick. So your best case and I saw very little of what was going on there.
Yeah.
And so what I saw, I thought, well, they're doing what they think they should do in order to keep these people away from them.
Yeah. So, because you told a story about somebody coming up with you with a knife.
Right.
Coming for the horse.
Right. And he,
and you saw him go, luckily.
Yeah, I did. And pulled a knife out of his pocket, opened it up, big old pocket knife. And he was, after we arrested him, said, I was going to stab that horse. And I said, that would be the stupidest thing you ever did because you'd have to stab him in the butt. And if you stab a horse in the butt with a knife, you are going to be leaving the area in a hurry.
No.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't let you leave without talking about Mob Dunk.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You wrote this book about a famous case.
Right.
Back in the... When was this set? 50s?
1958.
58, okay.
Yeah. Elizabeth Duncan, known as Ma Duncan, hired two people to kidnap and murder her 8-month pregnant daughter-in-law. And she was kidnapped out of Santa Barbara County, taken to Ventura County, where she was brutally murdered and buried above Lake Casitas. And it became a Ventura County case because that's where the homicide occurred. And the end result of this was that the two people that she hired and herself were executed. And she's the last woman executed in California. And it's the last triple execution in the United States.
Same day. It was the same day. In fact, two of them went together.
Yeah, two of them went together, and Ma went shortly there. No, excuse me. She went first, and then the two guys that she had contracted with were executed together. She was, I guess, if you wanted a definition of evil, this is what this woman was.
Yeah, and this story is so well researched. You know, the photos, what happened, but this woman had an incestuous relationship with her son. I mean, when you talk about evil, well, I read this book, and I read it like over time of like one sitting, and then finished it up, and I went, this is a scary book.
Yes.
To see what truly evil is.
Exactly.
Because you've got dialogue in there from the investigations and the things this woman did. She looks like your, you know, your typical.
Looks like a grandma.
Yeah, she looks like your typical grandma and all this. But then you find out how bad she really is and right. the things. And then she hired these two guys.
Right.
And they just did it.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, when she finally hired these two, she had approached at least eight other people in the Santa Barbara County community and openly said, I need somebody to get rid of Olga, who was her daughter-in-law. And other than one person who went to Frank, her son, and said, I think your mother's up to no good, nobody said anything to the law enforcement. So she was openly soliciting murder. And eventually she did find these two guys, both who had fairly extensive criminal careers, and offered them $6,000, in which she eventually ended up giving them about $300 of it. She even quote, ripped off the guys that did her dirty
work. Oh, wow.
And she would not have been caught if she had not essentially done something really stupid, which led, which allowed the investigators to connect her to the murderer.
And that's all we're going to say about it, because you can buy this book. It's called Ma Duncan, and you can get it on Amazon.
Amazon's the best place.
And Amazon.
You want to buy it from the Ma Duncan book vendor, that's me, because it's the cheapest, and it's new, and I sign it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, how do they do that? How do they get a hold of you, Jim?
The best way is to go onto Amazon and just at the top, type in Ma Duncan, and then it'll pop up the various vendors who sell this book. It's a best-selling book, so there are a lot of copies out there,
mm-hmm.
but there's only one person.